September 6th, 2020, it's a Watt for Pedro show. Three shows in a row here. I think it's the first Sunday of September. And I'll tell you, a trippy thing, people. I was with a San Antonio cat yesterday, Rick Weaver. And I was asking him, hey, are you listening to anybody? And fuck if he didn't mention today's guest, Model Home. I thought that was a fucking trip. Anyway, yeah. I should tell people, you know, we started the show off with Autumn Lee's What's New, Moonlight in Vermont. This is kind of a
It's not the Moonlight in Vermont from Cat Beefheart. This is a little medley that John Coltrane did with Stan Getz, Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb, it used to be called West Germany in 1960. And then we had Topic from Model Home, which are my guests, because, you know, it's Quentin Quarantino mode. Brother Matt's still doing what he's doing. But I'm not totally man alone because of the wonders of those Skype engineers in Estonia with their software. I got the Model Home Cats from Washington, D.C. with me. Hey, Pat, welcome aboard.
Hey, man.
Who you got with you?
We got Andrew here right now, solo percussion. We're just waiting on Nappy Napa to show up.
And Nappy Napa's the other guy. Yeah, because I knew you as a duo. You're actually a trio?
For this newest record, yeah, for the special edition of the one that's coming in October, it's actually a trio.
Now, this is a trip because I was telling the listeners about Rick Weaver, right? He said you made like 18 records in a year.
Yeah, two years so far. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And a couple other releases, too.
Now, Creedence Clearwater Revival did six albums between 68 and 70, and I thought that shit was crazy.
Whoa, yeah, that is a lot.
For those days, not these days, people.
Yeah.
So we don't want to hear any excuses about you being bored or anything. This fucking Model Home is getting to it. And I'm kind of new to the thing, you know.
Whoa.
I know it's a small fucking world. Anyway, who wants... Pat, you go first since you're...
Yeah.
What
sure.
I want to do is go through the music journeys. So
I just kind of play drums, you know what I'm saying?
That's okay, man. Drums is fucking essential shit. In fact, Rick, you hear Rick Weaver's stuff, it's all wild ass, but the guy's originally a drummer, man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. I saw Rick perform a couple times. Actually, a very crucial show for us, where me and Napa was with another couple guys from here in D.C., this guy Tony Kill and Sir U. We had a quartet called Delta 7. We had a couple releases and just one show. And that show we opened for Rick Weaver and his partner, Kimberly. But it was an amazing concert. It was this like totally mind blowing experience. Yeah.
Well, it's a small world. So what I meant to say, Andrew, is don't discount. There's been some retarded kind of cliche stereotype of drummers being whatever, not essential aiding and abettors. The biggest mistake the Minutemen made was never putting George Hurley at the front of the fucking stage.
Oh, man. Yeah.
By the way, his B-Day was Friday. Okay, he's 62 now, like me. So Pat, tell me, your earliest musical recollection, please.
My earliest musical recollection for, like, Weird Al music was I used to tune into Brave New Wave, which was like a CBC Radio 6 radio show at night from, like, midnight to 4. I'm from Buffalo originally, so I could hear that. That was, like, where I started hearing.
I should tell the listeners, CBC means Canadian Broadcast Company, but Buffalo's right on the border there, people.
Right on the border, so you can still get a lot of the Canadian radio stations. But I used to tune into that, like, after my dishwashing. I had a dishwashing job, and I would, like, stay up and listen to it at night. It was amazing.
So, Pat, you can't remember music as a boy, like where you grew up or where you were born?
Oh, no, actually, like, very square family.
Okay, was anybody a player?
No, nobody.
What was the first record you bought for yourself?
The first record I ever bought was Neil Young, After the Gold Rush.
And that's a Canadian cat. After the Gold Rush. Yeah, in the barn with Jack Nietzsche.
Yeah.
I remember that. I had an 8-track of it.
You had an 8-track of that one?
Yeah, there was something called the Columbia Record Club. You send in a dime and they send you 10 8-tracks and then one a month. And if you don't send it back, you have to fucking buy it.
the Columbia Road. That was what CD when I was a teenager.
Okay, so you remember that shit too. I think it was an ad in a TV guide or Mad Magazine or some shit. Okay, what about in grade school? Junior high, high school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I played the trumpet. Played the trumpet in grade school.
Did you learn to read?
The trumpet.
Did you learn to read?
Just barely. Okay. I could never do it now. Not really.
Okay. And did you pick it?
Did I pick the trumpet?
Yeah.
No, I can't even really remember.
Yeah, because a lot of times they just lay it on you, right?
Totally. And the teacher was a total tyrant. He was this ex-Navy asshole, man. Mr. Bissell. I still remember his name, but I don't remember choosing the trumpet. That's weird. But he was a dick.
There might be a reason for that, Pat. There might be a reason for that.
Yeah.
The guy was probably a fucking dick. Okay.
Yeah,
not, so,
and all the fun out of it, but...
What about the shit after school where you got the garage band or the basement band or the bedroom band? Did you do something like that?
Yeah, a little bit later on, like probably, you know, junior year of high school. A buddy of mine had a marimba and a drum set, and we would just jam out, you know.
So you left the trumpet for drums?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
What was the first drum set you bought?
I actually don't have a drum set. I just got my first drum machine, my first proper drum machine.
So in those days you were just playing, so you're talking marimba, so a little fucking, can be Ed marimba, huh?
Yeah, kind of like that, you know, more like Hooter Hample and vibraphone, like free jazz vibraphone.
Sure.
Pearl Berger and Eddie Blackwell.
And then, jazz-wise, like Bags, Milt Hilton.
Yeah,
he made a great record with John Coltrane, and of course Lionel Hampton, who had a great
Bobby Hutcherson with Eric Dolphy.
Eric Dolphy, right. And I'm thinking, but Lionel Hampton, I'm thinking Little Jimmy Scott. I got to see him sing five or six times with Pettibone. Yeah, incredible cat. Also, I think one of the first electric bass guitars was in Lionel Hampton's band.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, going way back. I read somewhere. Yeah. Don't quote me on that though, because I'm a dumb fan. So
you, man, what's your first musical recollection?
The first, well, I can tell you the first gig I went, because I want to ask you that, Pat. The first gig I saw was T-Rex.
Whoa.
Me and D. Boone saw T-Rex for the Slider Tour when we were 14.
Oh, man, that's sick.
It was $2.50 at the Long Beach Auditorium.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was a trip. It was a fucking trip. But it wasn't as good as going to see a club gig, though. Even though it was a smaller pad, it was still arena rock shit. And the dudes were too little.
The dudes are too little, too far away.
Yeah, you're too far away. It's fucking, and the sound is like, fuck. You know? Look, I want to play Broken Teeth.
All over the digital world, bomb song, sexual life, civilization, call, immigration, alienation, legal aid, extradition, it's medical, water off the old one, satellite back, class, and photo line, move at my own time, I catch up mine, mine is fine, son, with the fancy style, but we can shoot back at y'all, yeah, I can find it, show the soul, keep watching, love your eyes, go.
Parted from this strange world a little ahead of me. That means nothing. People like us who believe in physics know that the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion.
This is some disciple stuff, you know. I turned on this label, they bitch and shit. A few, though I think this is from old days with the Can people, mapping. Bogdan Rozinski, Mr. Tom was telling me this guy was a great influence on him. Mr. Tom's got a band called Tobacco. Well, that's how he goes by it. Black Moth Super Rainbow. And he said, yeah, he said, when he got into this, like this 20 years ago or something, but he didn't know anything about him. And he said, in a way, that was kind of neat. Things were mysterious. And a tune called Arrears? God damn, I don't know what that means. But after Mr. Tom with Mythic Mithimim. I don't know what that fucking means either. And then Chandelier Searchlight by Deerhoof and Wadada Leo Smith. There's a trumpet man, but kind of avant-garde, right? Kind of. Totally. I bet you. I know somebody who became he became a mentor to them. The piano lessons almost destroyed the love of music, but he brought it back by letting the freak flag fucking fly. Wild Rats after that with Roslyn. That's from Proj with Ron Ashton, late 70s. Now, Pat Smear from the Germs with All My Cheating. Love Pat Smear. Big influence on us, Minuteman. And finally, Feast of the Beast. Model Home. So, you got into studio work, right?
Studio work?
Yeah. No? Or did that come later? What happens between marimba time and new model time?
What happened in between? Oh, lots of stuff. I mean, I got really heavy into pre-jazz. I played the saxophone for a long time.
Oh, what? Tenor? Alto?
Tenor. And also did a lot of homemade instruments, kind of stuff like that was, you know, kind of a lot of what I did in between.
You got recordings of that stuff?
Yeah, some place. I have some stuff. I have to, you know, dig back through. I wasn't really into recording that much.
Okay. And did this project have a name?
No, it was just me, my solo name, and then, you know, I would collaborate with a lot of different people.
Okay. And then where'd you move from that?
Then I moved here to Washington, D.C., and I from Buffalo, and I had like a small, smaller living situation, but I couldn't really play my horn. So I was just like, oh, I'm just destroying like my neighbor's gear and stuff. But then I just started getting more heavily into tape, making my own, which is something I've always done, making like, you know.
Okay, so I like that idea, tape. Instead of I don't know, something about electronics is too cold. There's something neat about tape. Now, you know, my first experience with dudes working with tape was, I don't know if you're into Dinosaur, but there's a record called You're Living All Over Me. And Lou Barlow's got a song on the at the end called Polito.
Lou Barlow?
Yeah, Lou Barlow. And he, what he used was two cassette decks to keep bouncing on each other.
Yeah.
Did you do shit like that?
Yeah, that's totally the kind of stuff that I've done.
Some of the stuff on the album.
Yeah, like Broken Teeth is like that for sure. It's maybe two or three tapes on top of each other.
You know what? And Rick Weaver was talking something about that, where he records and then he goes and records back on and they fold back on itself and shit like this.
A lot of drums on top of your tape loops for like a lot of the like the first sample idea or something.
So
that's the beginning of the Model Home.
Yeah, totally. Just the idea of like tapes, electronics, and voice, you know?
Okay. That's really... I asked Rick Weaver this. Smegma. You wear a band called Smegma?
Yeah, I mean, they're West Coast, right?
So right. They started in SoCal with something called the LA Free Music Society, and then they ended up moving up to Portland.
Right.
And their records... I mean, it sounds like somebody left the fucking TV on in the living room or something. I mean, they're wild. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
So you were aware of these cats. Okay.
Yeah, definitely heard a bit about them.
Well, they go back to the 70s.
Yeah, it's a long running.
Yeah.
Looks like Joe Hammer, too, in L.A. was part of the...
Right, he's still here. He's got a brother.
And he's like one of the best tape artists.
Yeah, Rick Potts.
Yeah, I don't know that. But.
Yeah. Well, it's part of this group, this LA Free. Yeah, Tom Rishon, and it's mixed with poetry and just wild sounds, and that's interesting. Okay. I think people used to call them collages.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot
of how a lot of the music.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Okay, let's ask Andrew about his journey. Andrew, what's your earliest music recollection?
I had a lot of music in the house growing up. My dad played instruments. My mom would play and stuff. She could sing.
Was there, was there a drum set in the house?
There was not a drum set at the house. I didn't play drums until a little bit later.
Okay.
Actually, pretty much started playing drums when my grandfather passed away when I was like 12 or something like that. And
yeah.
He played, so I got his drum.
And where was his at?
His set was in the attic, actually. I never really saw him.
No. I mean, where was the attic?
Twice I saw him play, but it was more like I got his drums.
Andrew, what I mean is, what town?
Oh, I grew up a little bit outside of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, okay. Yeah, right on the border. The border there is trippy because Maryland's got like an arm that reaches out.
I moved down here when I was 12 to D.C., so kind of like lived half and half almost. I mean, I'm older than that now, but like, yeah, I moved down here at one point.
And what, so, was the what was the first album you bought yourself?
First album I bought myself. I remember, where I grew up was enough in the middle of nowhere. Like, I remember I had to get my grandma to sign a permission slip so I could buy a Nirvana CD.
Nirvana, okay.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Bro,
yeah, really dangerous stuff. I'm glad your ma signed that.
I had to go get, the town was like that. You know, I had to go get my grandmother to sign it because they had
eyes. Yeah, Square John, yeah. Well, you know what a farmer would tell you: if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So I say, bring it, motherfuckers. You know. So
cool. Like she wasn't really tripping, which is kind of nice. Like I didn't really expect that. She was like, I guess you like this stuff.
Well, yeah. Can you imagine when she was younger and she had to deal with rock and roll and Square Johns and those? You know.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, like they're all kind of music people that like.
So you got your grandpa's drum set?
Yeah.
Are you still playing it?
Yeah, I actually, I've seen it recently. I think about redoing it, it's kind of a piece that's not, like, musical. Right? Some of the pieces are missing, too, but, I still have it around, my dad has it.
You know, you guys got to move a little closer to the mic because there's a gate that keeps fucking shutting your words off.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah,
my dad has one.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it recently, actually, like last week.
Did he play professionally?
My father, no. But he, my father never played professionally, but he's constantly played with friends or, kids around town and growing up and stuff.
And when you started, can you remember the first gig you played?
First gig I ever played, I was in a punk band. Yes, I can remember the first gig I played. I was in a punk band. I played in Laurel, Maryland.
Yeah, what were they called?
The band was called Redline.
Redline.
Which was like, there's so many bands called Redline also.
Well, yeah, you're dragster. You're going too fast.
Actually, around here, it's like the Metro. It was like this thing, like whatever.
Oh, you know, because I went to drag races when I was a boy, and if you redline, it was too many revs, RPMs.
Right.
You blow the blower or some shit. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
But redline, when you record, you want a little bit in the red. Not with digital so much, but with analog, you want to bend that needle, wrap it around.
Yeah. So, the first gig was Eight Ball Cafe.
8 Ball.
It's like a picture, if you will, a strip mall with like the top floor.
Yeah.
The venue was on like the top floor of restaurants,
Easy load in.
Like it was like the punk thing where like somebody got the unsuspecting pool hall.
Sure, sure.
They brought hardcore.
Give us the door and we'll let you sell the beers.
Yeah, we don't care. And it's sort of a culture clash with the dudes at the bar and like.
Right. I've been through that only about a billion times. It's something else. Never gets old. Never gets old. And what was the gig like? Was it a pants shitter? Was it?
No, it was all right. I remember being psyched. It was the first gig I ever played. It was cool. You cared a lot about it, big time.
Sure. And if you don't get hit with sacks of shit or used rubbers, then it's a victory.
Never had really like a situation like that, thankfully.
I've been in them.
Yeah.
I've been in buttloads of them. Okay, people, it's at the end of the first hour, September 6, 2020, Dish Watt Peter Show special guest, Model Home, hold time for hour two. September 6, 2020, it's the second hour of Watt from Peter Show.
Easy in the snow.
on the sidewalk, trying to pass the time, minding my own business. People is out of crime. Policeman stepped up to me, said you better move along. Now people, won't you listen? Listen to my song. Oh,
Thank you. everywhere. Tying your hands, spraying your heart, spraying your head, right on your feet, spraying us tonight. It's everywhere. It's in the pan, it's in the pan. Girls, it's in the pan. He's down, look, you can overlook it, can overlook it, can never see it, can overbook it, can never look, take it. Truly, yeah, more than anything. Truly, yeah, more than anything. Truly, yeah, I'm the best in love. Don't wear the ring. Can't tie it down. Can't lock it down. Can't knock it up. Can't pick it up. Good, good. Live in your house. Live in your cash. Live in your bed. Live in your hood. Live in your heart. Fuck the star. Cause it's gonna press love. Fuck the star. Fuck what you want. I'm the press love.
For Pedro Show, we start the second hour off with Model Home doing Are You Sure? Then Sam Bennett after that with A Little Sympathy. Peter Kowald, sorry Peter. Great stand-up bass man, free jazz guy. And Damon Smith doing Reflections on April 28th, number 2. Mystical Weapons, Whispers in Blue Tongue, that's Greg Sarnier and Sean Lennon. Finally, I'm the Present Love, Model Home. So, Nappy Napa, your turn. What's your earliest musical recollection?
I guess listening to BMX in the car.
BMX? You mean the bicycle?
No, DMX, the rapper.
Oh, yeah, the rapper, DMX, yeah. Okay. Okay, and so, like, what, the car, like the stereo CD player or something?
Yeah, the radio.
And at home, was there musical instruments?
No, I guess the voice is a lot of voices. So,
like a lot of listeners there, so you're listening to a lot of music?
Sure. A lot of music,
Well, I'm just interested in influences. So,
Do you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
Yeah, first record I bought for myself was 50 Cent.
50 Cent. Okay.
You said the mask. The first record I bought in general was the Bad CD.
Whoa. And what about first? What about first gig you saw?
One more time.
First gig you saw.
First, I seen first concert I went to was the Cool Kids. You have to describe. You got to describe Rock and Roll Hotel.
Yeah. And at school.
Actually, I think Bone Crusher when I was looking at books. That was actually
Bone Crusher. Okay. What about at school, Napa? Did you play in the choir or the band or shit like that?
I did go to performing arts school. I actually went to dance, but I recorded it, but that wasn't what I meant to. It was just like, oh, they have a studio. That was my first time in a studio.
Oh, they had a studio at school.
Yeah.
Bitching.
Yeah, that shit was fire. They had the Grammy and shit afterwards.
Well, speaking of rhymes, when did you start writing rhymes?
In middle school, like just writing how I feel.
This might be a weird question, but can you remember your first fucking rhyme? Your first rap?
No, I don't.
What did you do? Did you do them by memory or did you do notebooks?
Notebooks, of course.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know. It's just like something to dig myself up. I think that's when I first started. Like, okay. Figure out who I was and like. I think it was one of them. This is who I am.
Right? You know what? I want to play Cold Getting Dog right now.
Dirty breed, Martian tunic, swinging senses with frankincense, no shoes, walking up, kicking dust, carrying the crux, the cross, the Christ living in us. Ain't no limits to the. Oh, I had to break out, I had to be free. Why does the cage bird sing? Perception far more valuable than reality. So inhale, exhale, breathe. Thing better than I let out. I howl at the moon. I'm from the projects, but got emotions too. Still hard as the streets that I grew up born. Rock a bulletproof vest in my heart on the sleeves of my arm. So my loved ones, they see me in the casket before they see me in the life behind bars. I put my soul in these bars like the seed in the soil. Enough ain't enough. They want diamonds, they want gold. But the grain would suffice if it was organically grown. A nigga feel like no, doing the flutter with ropes. Profit, don't do this just for profit, so the soul can't be sold. And this physical ain't matter, matter of fact, these vibrations of the atoms, where they try and hold, and let the spirit go. But I spit till we grow. A third in your head that ain't shifted by the poles, molded by the crow. And vultures squawking over your dead corpus. My phallus fill up the office to produce more of us. Cease more than the glory, I not destroy her. Hey yo, I wonder why the cage bird sing. Wonder why we. Shit. Hey yo, I wonder why the cage bird sing. Wonder why they clip our wings. Wonder why we such anomalies. Like the stars I read. But it ain't no wonder. Ain't nothing to see. It's everything that we be. Hey yo, I wonder why the cage bird sing. Wonder why they clip our wings. Wonder why we such anomalies like the stars I reach. But it ain't no wonder, ain't nothing to see. It's just everything we be, bro. Everything we be. Run deep like a Russian tree. Hey.
Don't be the queen of my succession or the king of my oppression, please.
southern trees. Bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves, blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. Pastoral scenes of the gallant South. Bulging eyes and twisted mouth. The scent of magnolias, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burnt flesh.
Did your shake with Colorado and had your dalliance in the east, devouring all these friends that you had barely met, until the names and faces melted into one peculiar beast of bedposts and affairs that you might well regret. And to say I miss your face would come up short in painting this. It's a struggle just to get my sketches down. As I lean across my papers and I slowly fall asleep and dream about the death of our old town. And I guess sometimes the trouble with it is, the trouble, it doesn't. doesn't trouble me at all. So I wake up in this parking lot, and I raise up all these blinds to a world that just ain't talking much at all. Just consumed by anything that has a password or a screen, and the place has lost its sympathetic core. But there is something to this quiet in these silent city streets, and this picture here of you walking with me, and the thought of how it's probable we will never dance again, and the fact that that's just how it's got to be. And I guess sometimes the trouble with it is trouble, it doesn't trouble me at all.
Best thing you done. See my people and we in need of love. Egomaniacs out here running the mug. So unfair being ourselves, we play the thug. Because we see every king get their heads cut. Off in this capital. Capitalist became the catalyst to hide. To move in a corporate room full of vultures and need black billionaires that'll never sue. Cause they telling you your value and how to produce for us to consume. Chase the bag till they bag you. We been rich long before the Benjamins pulled us to fly no altitude like pigeons. On a back of the bus, where I get some of my best
thinking done. See my
people here need love.
Egomaniacs out here running amok.
So we feel being ourselves.
We play the thugs. Cause we see Nary King get there.
It's cut.
Often it's the capital capitalist. Became the catalyst to how to move.
Corporate, open the vultures, in black billionaires, it'll never show. Cause they telling you, your value, how to produce, us to consume, chase back and take back you.
We've been rich long before the Benjamins cooked us to fly low altitudes like this. And it's no beginning.
Watch for Pedro show. Cold getting done. Model home. After that, Bouchon, Love's Gone. Betty LeVette, Strange Fruit. That's an old tune. Brought up to date. Will Johnson, Trouble. Jimmy Q, Beautiful Fangs. Bombas Prendon. Here's that band I was telling you about, Pat. Hell's a Little Ransom, and then finally, Model Home with Bag. So tell me, Napa, how did Model Home get together?
How did we get together? Me and Pat met at this other spot we got in D.C. for Black Cat, for a performance of People's Leather Bar.
You're talking about the Black Cat, Dante's Club.
Yeah. One more time, sir. You said what?
Black Cat, Dante's Club in D.C.
Yeah, we got Black Cat.
So you guys met there?
Yes, and then we just decided to actually take it outside, you know, together. And then, I came to your house first, or we went to the walk in the park. We walked in the park first. But yeah, then after that, we just picked it up.
Do you remember the first song you guys wrote together?
I just remember like the history of, like, you know, Blur Up songs made in that time. We would call it Big With Me. Back with me at 15, like.
Okay.
It was just like, you know, it was too much. It was
the first meetup.
I'm curious. You got your first batch of songs together. How long was it before you guys met and you did your first gig?
I think it was maybe like 5 or 6 months. But I did something for the Ron Fisher for Nepo's solo project.
Oh, you mean it's Model Home started as a solo project for Napa?
No. Napa has always had his own solo project, and I was doing like video. And
okay, so we're talking parallel universes.
Come on, my pack came video.
Yeah.
You see a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at work. I guess I'm at you. I'm past. That's why I'm past the visual show.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. And then I must admit.
Yeah.
I used to have a little record shop for a couple of years. Like, I was there on Saturdays. Yeah, I think that's where I'm not gonna
show. Yeah.
So, Andrew, you met at the record store, but these guys met at the Black Cat.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, you know, it's like a more of a model home is like the two of them. You know, it's kind of like a more of a, I don't know, it's a jazzy thing. Or like, I play drums, you know. Once in a while, we do a thing where I also play drums.
So okay, so you would consider them more the core, and you're like kind of side mouse?
For instance, we're playing all these songs off of SE, which is like, you know, like this, like the full album where I'm on there. It's like a feel the whole time thing, you know? But like, I've done other things before, where it's me, but like, yeah, Model Home is here through them.
And who came up with the name Model Home?
I think my partner Maddie really came up with it. They also make the all the artwork for the band camp releases. But yeah, we were just in the yard one day and said, oh, I'll be like a cool name for something.
You gotta get in a little closer. You're getting cut off, Pat.
Oh, sorry. It just sounded like a cool way to, you know, have a nice name. Yeah.
I mean, there's some trippy imagery. When I think of the model home, I think of some square-ass 50s shit, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what we try and put on its head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's actually all the collages for on our band camp are all from, it's actually really interesting. It's like maybe mid-90s, like floor plans for cracked suburban housing. That's how we made all the collages and original artwork for it.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting.
I was reading a thing where, in the process, when you guys are recording, Napa, you do a lot more than what you need.
One more time?
Like, you'll go on, I don't know, it was something like, I turned 20 minutes into 3 minutes, or something Pat said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not a set time, you know. It's not like we make it with a set time or anything. I think we might, if anything, condense it to, like, you know, the song structure.
Right. So
it's not like we make it.
I'm just trying to understand the process. Like, you go in there and he lays down a beat for you, and then you.
It's like a conversation. You know?
Okay. With no beats.
Yeah, no, we try and approach it more like a free jazz or live concert. Like, I would say 90% of the recordings that are on our band camp are just, you know, culled from just live sessions between, you know, either just me and Napa or with other people. Minimal editing. The stuff for SE has a little bit more editing to it and a little bit more studio kind of stuff, but the majority of our music is meant to be kind of this more one-time, improvisational kind of music.
Okay. You know, it's hard to know that, right? Because,
it's edited down, and it sounds more like all these formed songs, but a lot of them are made, you know, just in like one 45-minute kind of session. We'll get, you know.
that's fucking incredible. That is incredible, man. Much respect to you guys.
Thank you.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 6th. 2020 Dishwap Pedro Spell Show special guest Model Home Hold Tight for Hour 3. September 6, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Yeah. propaganda projections. Campaign lash, manipulate, man, and most currently manifesting. Jump shit at your necklace, confessions of the young and restless. If morals and questions, the ways you corrupt them. Actions and acting, lived out passion, passive, aggravated. Statements lasting, devils laughing. Thumbs up, we're pointing, emotionally anointed. You know it's all for them. The lies we give, the lies we give.
To a new reality, urging you, I'm
Sana kikiniyor Mavale, mavale Todomarazu Korogatte, korogatte Kieru made Karata juu wo Hamidashi
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Late Night from Model Home, and His Name Is Alive. We'll talk about that. It sounds like a collab. Why we came here from Crane, Punk Is a Doornail with Gold Diaper. Whatever. The World That Changes Constantly from The Chef Cooks Me. That's a Tokyo band. The Chef Cooks Me. that's a name for a band, dude. then B minus from Tatsuhisa Yamamoto, the Mold Omen. This is a Balmar band. MOB. I mean, these dudes do wild ass half hour, 40 minute wailers. You know. Then Fire Sale again, Model Home, along with His Name Is Alive, which is a cat in Detroit. And now, how'd that collaboration come about?
That was mostly like through the label.
Disciples.
But even meeting the link up between us and Disciples was kind of through like a Southeast Michigan connection.
Okay, and so what'd you do? Trade files?
Yeah, they had some tape that they were going to release, and Matthew from. Yeah, versions returning. Matthew from Disciples thought, oh, it'd be good to just do like a dubbed out weird version. And that's what we did. He just sent me the MP3s and then I put them on tape basically and slowed them down and did, you know, voice effects and all that kind of stuff on them.
Well, it seems like there's two versions of each tune. There's a dub one and then more of a straight one.
Yeah, because the they're the same, but one is just the vocals and one is the
Ah, oh, okay. Like the old Jamaica, the B-side, yeah, where you wouldn't have the words. Right, right. Some scientist and...
Yeah. I try to approach it like that for sure.
Were you into cats like that?
What's that?
You know, those heavy dub guys in Jamaica. Were you into that stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Lee Perry. Scientist was actually here in D.C. for the first time, too. The Scientist was one of my favorites.
That's right. That guy, oh, man, incredible shit. And big on the bass guitar, you know. I got to see Family Man with Bob Marley in 1979.
Wow.
And that guy, yeah, man, that's some bass.
Sure, yeah.
That's some bass. I mean, the whole band was bitching, tight as motherfucker. But Family Man was, oh, man. Tony Mamone in Peru, that's his favorite bass, man. But oh, yeah. But those guys, when they reassembled their stuff, and it was with Econo equipment, you know. But it's so fucking bitchin'.
I mean, that's our model too. It's all
Pablo Augusta. Yeah, people like this.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I come from that kind of background too, like misused equipment.
Now, with His Name Is Alive, did it go the other way? Did you send him stuff to manipulate?
No, but maybe we should. That's a good idea.
So it's kind of a one-way street this time.
He actually did master it, though. Okay. So I guess that a little bit counts.
Yeah, you know, mastering's important.
Yeah, he did make it sound really, really nice.
Because, you know, for sure it can ruin shit.
Yeah.
Like the first Lou Reed record. Oh, my God. The Ocean, you know. So you got to have good mastering. But I don't know if it can, what they call it, polish a turd, you know. So you got to have good stuff to begin with.
I always make it too weird and bassy, and then people
are Yeah. You can
tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, or man, I got stories from the 80s, and because, you know, I'm only 30 miles from Hollywood, so I heard about some Hollywood mastering sessions you would not fucking believe, dude. I'm glad I wasn't there. Look, I want to play Life Don't Start or Stop.
One.
revolution, reputation, reparation, revolution, reputation, revolution, reputation, reparation, resolution, restitution, ready to go, we go, revolution, 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 reputation, reparation, resolution, restitution, ready to go, we go, moving. Reclaim resources, struggle from sacred lands, reflect tearing for beds, restore the destroyed force, and desert sands. Revolution, reputation, reparation.
Show last music for this edition. Life Don't Start or Stop. That's from Model Home. And then 20 Minutes Late. That's Brother Philip Mammoth. Jammin' G with DG. I guess these guys who are in the other stalls in the industrial place up there. And the Ridiculous Trio, We Will Fall. Now, this is a Stooges cover, people. If you know the last song on the first album. But it's with tuba, trombone, and drums. So kind of a trippy treatment. And finally, Model Home with Rev. I guess that's kind of a red line thing there, Andrew. So what's the next plan for Model Home?
I would just keep rocking. Keep going. We're trying to just, you know, keep working on stuff. Do bigger, more elaborate videos and kind of staging the things.
Now, do you guys work a song at a time, or do you do a whole album at a time?
One idea at a time. Just kind of keep collecting what we're doing and put it out there.
Well, like, I looked at the Bandcamp page, and the stuff is, like, numbered.
Yeah, just to realize like that, yeah.
It's like you guys are wailing on it so fucking fast, you don't have time for titles. Man, but then when you listen,
sounds like, you know.
But when I listen to it, it doesn't sound assembly line. It don't sound just, you know, same old, same old. It's like you invest. But you tell me, you do these things at 45-minute sessions?
Yeah, about that. You know, sometimes a couple hours, but just, you know, go through and pick out the good stuff. I mean, in a live situation, it would all be good, you know.
Right.
I'm all like, oh, we're having this live experience. But for the recordings, we like to just kind of distill it down a little bit.
And how would you describe a live gigs versus recording? Do you do more recording or do you do more gigs?
More recording right now.
Well, so. Yeah. Stupid fucking what? Of course, it's COVID-19.
Yeah, doing a little bit of touring and that kind of stuff, yeah.
So you guys have toured.
Yeah, and we do all this stuff live, too. I mean, that's a big part of the deal.
Wow.
That is the cool thing. We're not going to play like, oh, Old Getting Dog is not going to be like a live version of that, but we'll do something similar to that, you know?
So should you bring all the sounds that you use to make it?
Yeah.
And what's the furthest west? Have you been out to Cali?
No, not yet.
Okay. What's the most west you guys been?
I guess, yeah, Detroit. Maybe Cincinnati.
Detroit, Cincinnati. Okay, Midwest.
Yeah, so far.
I think that's still Eastern time zone, though.
Yeah, totally. We're going to get out there, though.
No, it's all right. It's a big fucking country. You'll make it. You'll make it. In fact, I'd like to, if you get out this way, I'd like to share stage with you.
Oh, yeah.
And look.
Yeah, well, let's get out there.
Okay, okay. What about, where can people find you on the internet? We should tell them the Bandcamp page, right?
Yeah, the Bandcamp page is the best spot.
And that's, modelhome.bandcamp.com. Oh, it's modelhomedc.bandcamp.com. Okay.
Right.
And, but you guys don't have a model home website, do you?
Not one that's that good, no.
Okay. And what about younger people that you meet? I mean, Napa, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24. So what, do you meet younger cats? Do you have any advice?
In regards to...
What's that?
I was saying advice in regards to...
Yeah, music, you know, doing this, what you do.
Yeah, it's fine. What you love about it.
Get close up on the mic there, Napa.
Find what you love about what you're doing and hone in on that. Make the most of that. And, I mean, I'm still working on that journey, so I don't know. I have faith in it, so I don't know exactly where it should lead, but it should lead you to where you, maybe not where you only want to be, but where you should be, you know?
I think that's great, man. You know, I'm 62 years old, and that helps me. Look, it's a big honor. Andrew, Pat, Napa, big honor to have you on the show.
Oh, right on, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
When you
get a new album, when you come back on the show, can we play it and you talk about all the tunes?
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you so much. Keep on keeping on, brothers. Yeah. Pedro, it's been September 6th, 2020, just a Wap Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.